If I could share my heart for just one moment, I would tell you how much Jesus means to me. And the joy that overflows from the depth of my soul, just knowing I have been redeemed. I don't deserve the mercies I've been given, that came with great expense on Calvary. When the weight of my sin was placed upon him, as the Lamb of God laid down his life for me. Oh, the cost of the cross, the price my Savior paid. Oh, the blood that he shed from the riches of his grace. May I never forget the debt my sin cost, and live forever grateful for the cost of the cross. I cannot comprehend the love of Jesus and the lengths that he went through to save my soul. To think the Father was pleased to sacrifice him, yet pardon me, I owe my life to Christ and Christ alone. Oh, the cost of the cross, the price my Savior paid. Oh, the blood that he shed from the riches of his grace. May I never forget the debt my sin cost, and live forever grateful for the cost of the cross.
Didn't see him in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. I didn't see him feed the thousands with just two fish and five loaves. I didn't see him walk on water or calm the raging sea. But I felt his mighty power when he set my spirit free. Thank him and praise. didn't see him hanging there on top of Calvary's hill. I didn't see him conquer death or win the victory, but I know that he lives, 'cause he lives within me. And one day I'll see him and look on his face. I'll thank him and praise him for his marvelous grace. And I'll hear him say, child, enter in. One day I'll see him and look on his face. I'll thank him and praise him for his marvelous grace. And I'll hear him say, child, enter.
Just a Moabite by birth, no one even knew her name. Not much to look upon in her rags so poor. She had no riches she could claim. One day while working out in the field, redemption came by her way. So if you ask her how she made it in, here's what she just might say. Check the record in heaven, you'll find my name's been sealed down. Oh, by the way, did I tell you the King's my Father? There's no doubt. I was dead when he found me, but he raised me to new life. Redeeming grace is my story. Check the record on high.
Check the record on.
Just a sinner by birth, dead in my trespasses and wrong. Not much to look upon in my rags of sin. I was bound to make hell my home. One day I heard about how Jesus died and paid the price for my sin. So when you see me on that golden shore, it's how I made it in. Just check the record in heaven, you'll find my name's been sealed down. Oh, by the way, did I tell the King's my Father?
There's no doubt.
I was dead when he
could sing it all the way around. Isn't that something now? Are you happy in the Lord this morning? Well, tell your face about it. You know, it'd be, am I on good? Yeah, that's a good deal. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. I've enjoyed these good special songs and the collective songs we sing together. I just like singing about and for the Lord. I'm not a singer. If I could sing as good as some of you do, then I'd sing all the time. I do pretty much anyhow, but I mean, God knows how to filter it out and make it sound better to Him. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 5. Jeremiah, chapter 5, you find the place you're able to stand. Look in verse 1. Jeremiah, chapter number 5, verse 1. All right, in the passage he said, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek the, in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely." So he's looking for something more than little lip service, isn't he? "O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? And thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. And they've made their faces harder than a rock, and they have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, and they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they've known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. And we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We praise you and we thank you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee, there's none else. Now, Lord, I pray you'd save the sinner. And Lord, I pray you'd revive the saint, lift up the downhearted. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. In the lesson, I want to preach a little while this morning out of these few passages here that God is looking for a man. Now, isn't that amazing that whenever we started out looking at that, God said, run to and fro. There must be an urgency of the matter. I can remember whenever I got saved, surrendered to preach, and I got to thinking, you know, what ends up happening is the reason why there's so many dead heads and dead churches and dead across the country is that these preachers are just not going to say nothing or do anything that'll upset anybody. But I was wrong. In the day and hour that we're living in, let me say to you that God's always been, He is right now, will be tomorrow, looking for a man that can be a leader of His house and that looks for the truth of God. Now, there's a remnant according to the election of grace that is out there like that. But most of the time, people just want to feel good about themselves like they are without any need whatsoever to be able to repent and to be able to come to the Lord. You know, it insults a sinner, a religious sinner, without hope, without God. It insults them when you talk about repentance because they don't think they've got anything to repent of. See? And when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, you'll find that Jesus, the Bible said, is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, God is looking for somebody that's looking for the truth. That means He's looking for somebody that's looking for Jesus Christ. Now, in the day we live in, you know, you can't stand up and be a pulpiteer, especially if you're going to talk too much about another religion, because somebody in that building is going to have somebody that they brought up and that now is in another false religion, and they're going to be offended if you say anything that's going to upset Bubba and Sissy because they went the wrong direction. See what I'm talking about? I'm just saying to you that if you will, we've got folks, I guarantee you right now, that have passed through this building. And because of the fact that you talk about false religion, that's okay. If you go to naming them, that's not okay. God is looking for a man that's seeking the truth. And let me say to you that whenever you know the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except by Him. There's another thing over there in the 1 John chapter number 2 and about verse number 21, and you ain't got to turn there, but you'll find out that the Bible said that no lie is of the truth. You know, if it's the truth, it won't be a lie. You know, there's not ever a reason to be able to lie, never a reason to lie. If you're going to have to lie, you're better off just go ahead and plead the fifth and decline to answer. There's never a reason to lie. I can tell you this right now is that, make no mistake about it, I was watching, let's see here, a movie. It's called The Cowboys. You can't watch that. It's too much cussing in it, but every now and again I watch it. If it's on INSB or whatever, INCF, whatever it is, that channel, they'll muddle some of it out. But I'm good enough to read their lips and know what they really said. In fact, it's probably not as bad or any worse than what some of you are already doing. But one of the things that I remember John Wayne, that while he was making that movie that was there, here comes Bruce Dern and his people that are up there. They lied to him. He asked him where they'd been. Well, we've been working cattle for the biggest outfits across the country. And old John said, which ones? And old Bruce Dern said, you name them. No, he said, you name them. And he went ahead on and said, oh, yeah, well, how's old Mr. So-and-so that you work for? And said, well, you know, we wasn't the biggest fools in the country. We'd be right there right now. He said, if you did, you'd be in the ground somewhere because I was Paul Bear at his funeral. And now here's the catcher. And he said, so then can we go and help you drive these cattle? No. He said, you're not going to be like everybody else, Bruce Dern said, and hold prison against us. And old John said, no, sir. I just don't like a liar. See, whenever you tell a good whopping lie and get caught in it, then nobody's ever going to want to believe you again. Jesus knows if you're looking for the truth of God, if you're going to try to lie your way out of it. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, the Bible said that no lie is of the truth. I'm glad to be able to know that whenever you and I come to know Him in the free pardon of sin, is that the reason why the world's dying without hope and without God and going to hell. In fact, is the leader of the pack that over in Revelation going to hell is a liar. And you know what he's lying about, don't you? Now, we're not talking about everybody in this building here. If you've told one lie, you don't even got to get saved all over again. And that don't mean you're going to hell, but I can tell you what, is that there's never a reason to lie, and God's going to smite your heart, and you ought to get it straightened out. But the biggest lie that's ever been told is that there's another way to be able to get to heaven rather than Jesus Christ. That's the big lie. That's the fabrication of the devil. Over there in St. John chapter number 8, the Bible said that when he speaks of lie, he speaks of his own because he's a liar and the father of it. Remember that? I got to tell you right now, there's never a reason to be able to lie. You know why my wife and I have made it all these many years together is that she's never caught me lying. You know the reason why she hasn't caught me lying? I don't lie to her. If I'm going to lie, I'm going to lie to you. You're not a slick, and I don't have to go and face you every evening. And if I lied to you, God's going to smite my heart because I came to know the truth of God. And so did you. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that we've got to worry. Have you ever noticed how we colorize our lies? That's just a little white lie. Oh, I see. What are the white lies? I'd like to get a list of them. Are they like the black lies, except they're just lighter in color? What are we going to do now that white's being removed from the color chart? I said all that to be able to say this. God is looking for a man that's seeking the truth of God. I thought whenever I first came here to this part of the country here, I thought, you know, it's a pretty good sized town. It's not going to be hard to be able to find some people there that love God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent, that are looking for the unadulterated word of the Lord. Now, I've preached two or three funerals since I've been here in 30 years. And every time without fail, somebody walks up and says, my word, where are you and your congregation at? Never one time do they show up. At the funeral the other day, God bless her heart, in heaven shouting it out. And I can't tell you how many people commending me and walking up and said, now where exactly do you pastor? And I figured it out. They're not wanting to know where they can come. They're wanting to know where they can dodge. I don't blame them. Sometimes I re-listen to myself and wish I hadn't been here. God is looking for a man that's looking for the truth of God. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto light, and few there be that find it, the Bible said. You know where man, what man's messed up about? He's messed up on the subject of God. The only way, the only truth, the only life. I've literally had people say, well, do you believe, preacher, that there's only one name and only one person whereby you can be saved? And then they go to wanting to jump off out there. What if there's more planets with different people and that have a different God, blah, blah, blah? I got to tell you, mister, I'm not going to bog myself down in a what if. I'm glad to know that I've got something that's sure and something that's certain. I ain't got a guess at it. I've got the Holy Spirit of God to lead and guide and direct me into all the truth. Thy word is the truth of God. See? In this lesson that we're looking at, you get messed up. And if you miss it on the subject of God, incarnate in human flesh, then it won't make any difference whatever else you discover and whatever else you may believe. Not only that, but I'm going to tell you, people are messed up about sin. You know what you can tell about sin? You know how you can describe what sin is? It's by the word of the Lord. Sin's not something you and I decided because that I'm doing it and you're not, or vice versa. That's not what the Bible said. For him that knoweth to do good and to do it not, to him it's sin. Just neglecting to do what's right is sin. See? If a man transgresseth against the law of God, that's sin. What God does is that God wants us to realize and know that He is God. Besides Him, there is none else. There's a passage in a minute. It's over in the book of Isaiah that I'm going to want you to look at. Isaiah in chapter number 44. And I'll let you find that. And we'll look at a passage there just in a little bit. I want to say to you that if you will, make no mistake about it, is that people get messed up about the subject of sin, about the subject of God. And you know what's happening, don't you? They deceive themselves. Look in Isaiah 44, verse number 20. Bible said, He feedeth on ashes, a deceived heart hath turned him aside, and he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Isn't that something about the idolatrous person that's invented its own way, that's invented its own safety guard, safety net, that if you please? And he said, you know what happens? They're so blind and so deceived, they can't never say that I've got a deception in my right hand that I've been trusting in, believing in. In this lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said over there in the book of John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is the truth. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know him in the free pardon of sin. Isaiah in chapter number 44 that we've read, I got to tell you something, you better be feeding on something besides ashes. You'd better be trusting Him as your Lord and Savior and come to know Him in the free pardon of sin. Over there in the book of John in chapter number 8 and about verse number 32, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, until Jesus makes us free, we're bound in bondage in sin. But when we come to know Him in the free pardon of sin, you'll find out that He makes us free and sets us free and unlocks the prison house. That's why God says unto Jeremiah, I want you to run to and fro. Now, here's a man that every time he preached the word of the Lord, got in trouble. They got him where they'd lock him up, and they'd feed him with the bread of and water of affliction, and they'd leave him there. In fact, he got so frustrated and aggravated, you know how the story goes, that he finally said, I'm not speaking no more in His name. Every time he did, he got in trouble for it. And he said, but it was shut up on the inside of me. It was like a fire in my bones, and I couldn't hold it back. You know, that's the reason why I tell people every now and again, listen, you want to quit? If you can quit, I'd quit. Because if what you got's real, friend, on the inside of your heart, I guarantee you can't quit. Now, you may get to where that you're not able to get up and you're not able to go, and you may get to where you're having to hobble. You know, you start out, and for a while you'll hobble a little ways, and then it ain't long until you can't go. And I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about getting beyond your physical ability because of your life and longevity. I'm not too far myself from not being able to go. I can still run a little bit, but not as many steps. I can still jump a little bit, but not nearly as high. I got to tell you, though, greater is He that is within me than he that is in the world. I may not be able to show up on a regular basis, but make no mistake about it, my heart is overwhelmed by the word of the Lord and the things of God. And every time I come here and see you, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. It makes me absolutely glad to know that I've been set free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of Satan, from the prison house, and been washed by the blood and born into the family of God. I got to tell you right now, I've had people, you know, that was saying while we were off, you know, at the hospital and while we were getting, you know, this chemo treatment, some gal in there and she's busy working this and that, and, you know, doing stuff and sticking needles in my wife, and I'm sitting there praying for her. Lord, thank you that it's not me you're sticking them in. Surely you're not one of them. I wish they could stick those needles in me. Well, you're just nuts. We got a what do they call that? Phlebotomy? Phlebotomist? Yeah, whatever it is. Blood sucker right here. You're not happy this morning? We'll get you a little blood drawn. I will say to you that if you will, I'm glad to be able not jest and go on and fool around a lot, but I'm going to tell you right now is that I'm glad to know that God is able to be able to meet our every need and restore the joy. It was that Brother Philip is more talking about the joy. Listen, we're sinners saved by grace. And we ought to be glad we went somewhere to the house of God, and it ought to show up in our faces instead of like the little boy when the old man during the invitation looked at him and said, "Son, wouldn't you like to be saved and go to heaven?" He said, "Sir, if I were to get saved this morning, will God make me like you?" "Yes, He will, boy." He said, "Well, no thank you then, because I've got enough problems already on my own." We ought not to be looking like that toward people. You ought not to go down to God's house and when you leave, look like you've been somewhere and sorry you went. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've been set free from the bondage of sin and the penalty of sin, and there's a place in heaven. Now, I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look over there in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, and about verse number 25, in fact, you can turn there if you like to, because it's a very vital, important passage. We're not talking to heathens this morning. We're talking to people that are children of God, born into the family, washed by the blood. And I said to you, there's never a reason to be able to lie. Notice, if you will, please, in chapter number 4 and about verse number 25. In the passage, he said, "Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Now, I'm going to tell you something. Is that one of the things that you'll find that God said, "I want a man to run to and fro in the streets, and I'm looking for a man." That's the neuter gender, because he's looking for a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that's looking for the truth of God. And in this lesson that you're looking at, here's what he says: whenever you come to know him, it'll make you want to put away lying. I was thinking about, whenever I looked into that, is that in the day we live in, I've got kin folks and you've got kin folks. They're in church and out of church, but they're more out than they are in. And let me tell you right up front, isn't it amazing that in the day and hour we live in, that we've got folks that'll show up and rally for anything. Christmas party, this and that, sickness, death, funerals, other things of graduation. We could go on and on and on, but they'll not darken the door of the house of God with you. Now, what does that tell you? Somebody's lying somewhere. Somebody's lying about who they are, about who God is, about what their need is, about their life and their self and their sin. Listen, let me tell you right now, when Jesus saved somebody, the Bible said the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Do you realize, though, that if a person's not in church, they're not going to heaven? I can't tell you how many times that I've preached this. If what you've got in your heart don't bring you to church on a regular basis, I'd be afraid it wouldn't carry me to heaven either. Now, I don't mean that ugly, but I do mean it, and I know it sounds ugly. Don't let the devil get, you know, the next time somebody says, "Well, you ain't got to go to church to be able to go to heaven," you're going to hear that often. No, honey, but if you're fit for heaven, you're in the church already. Jesus, the Lord, added to the church daily such as should be saved. In this lesson, as we get ready to close here this morning, I want to say to you that I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be able to know that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has saved my soul, paid my sin debt, applied it unto me, and given me joy unspeakable and full of glory. And let me tell you, the half has not yet been told. The Bible says, and though they say the Lord liveth in verse 2 of our text, surely they swear falsely. You know why? They were messed up about the subject of God. They were messed up about the subject of sin. They were messed up about the subject of themselves. They were messed up about the church of the living God. They were messed up about the Word of God. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are you free this morning? Well, if not, I can tell you how, and already have told you. Come to Jesus Christ as an empty-handed beggar, and He will make you free. All right? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank You for loving us even while we were unlovable. Lord, thank You for these that have gathered here today. Lord, I pray You'd help us to be an example with our lip and with our life, that we might be able to exalt and magnify Your name together to a lost and dying world. We're asking You to save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.